The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You'll see that I chose as a title for my sermon, "Joy Comes with the Morning." And we heard that in our psalm today, Psalm 30. So Psalm 30 is a psalm of David, and a lot of David's songs talk about difficulties he's encountered with a variety of enemies. And this enemy that he talks about appears to be an illness from which he's recovered. He says, "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you've lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave." This sounds familiar, doesn't it? These are things that many of us have encountered. And so he touches on that experience that we've all had. And then he says, "Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance." And then this interesting verse 5, "God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends a night, but joy comes in the morning." And that really is the crux of the entire psalm. But the psalmist goes on and says, "While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed. You, Lord, with your favor made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear." So he's describing how he was a little bit overconfident, and then something happened, and he felt that God had turned God's face from him. And that caused him to cry out, "I cry to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying, 'What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?' So, O Lord, what good will it do if I die? Wouldn't it be better for me to live and praise you? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. And then you've turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever." So it's a really interesting psalm talking about a restoration and talking about the need for God. That sometimes we feel as though God has hidden God's face from us. But the reality is that joy comes with the mourning. The difficulty is taking that literally, of thinking that just because you've had a difficult night, spending it crying and just filled with sorrow, that when the morning comes and the sun is up, that everything is going to be all right again. Because we know that's not true. That sometimes there are day upon day upon day that will go by until we finally find that joy has returned. And that is what I believe that the disciples were experiencing in our gospel lesson today. This is the third time we're told that these disciples have seen the risen Christ. And for some reason, they don't recognize him. They also don't recognize what they're supposed to do now that Jesus has been resurrected. We know that they have been hiding out for fear that the authorities are going to come after them and kill them as well. So here they finally come out from hiding. And what do you do when you're still wondering what you should be doing with your life? When you don't know what you should be doing with this day? Well, they do the obvious thing, don't they, Dean? Which is what? You go fishing. You go fishing. Isn't that right? Don't you do that? You know, what else do I do with today? I think I'll go fishing. What they're doing is returning to the life that they knew. Because they don't seem to understand that now that Jesus has been raised from the dead, their lives are changed. They seem to have forgotten all the things that he told them during the time that he was with them. All of those things about going out and taking care of people and preaching the message, they've forgotten it. And instead, they go fishing. They return to their old ways of life. And we see what happens. And that is that they catch nothing as they try to do things their own way. And so they fish all night and get nothing. But in the morning, they see a figure out there on the beach, and they see a charcoal fire. And they don't recognize who this individual is, but he says, "You have no fish, right?" And they say, "No, we don't." And so he tells them what to do. He's telling fishermen what to do. We've heard this before in another gospel where this is how he calls the disciples. He tells fishermen how to do their job. It's daytime, not the time when they normally fish. They normally fish at night, because then you can sell the catch fresh in the morning, and also perhaps you can not be noticed by those people who are going to be collecting taxes for the fish that you catch. So he tells them to cast the net to the right side of the boat, and they listen to him and have a great catch of fish. And it was then that somebody recognizes that it is Jesus. And Peter puts on some clothes, probably just has a linen wrap around himself, and he puts on clothes, which is not normally what we do, but he does so and jumps into the sea, but the others decide to take their time and bring the fish in with them. When they go ashore, they see a charcoal fire. There's already fish there, and there's bread. But Jesus asks them to add part of the fish that they have caught. and they haul the net ashore, filled with large fish. And they eat breakfast. Breakfast on the beach with Jesus. I have to wonder what they talked about as they were having breakfast with Jesus. Because they seem to have a strained relationship with him. They don't really recognize him as being the person that they have spent so much time with. He seems to have been changed somehow because of his